Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord, I beat the case. That man be calling.
It is Thursday, December 30th. Two more days of 2021. And as I've said, I might say it every day this week. Adios, motherfucker. We're out. We are ready for 2022. I've never been this excited about a year. I think it's just kind of like a lagging after effect of the whole COVID pandemic, lockdowns, masks, and everything. It's like it took a while to like swallow that pill, get through it, obviously survive, and then now to have some optimism and hope that 2022 is going to be a great year. So excited about it, and I hope you guys are all ready for it. I have some big things coming in 2022 for this platform and a bunch of things. So I'm really excited about it. I do want to mention we have five squares left. I think I said either way. I think it's either three or five for our the game start Friday. So you got literally two more days. If you want to grab a square for this, and then tomorrow I'm probably going to launch launch the big money board for the national championship game. Should be really exciting. But anyways, couple squares left, $100. If it hits it at first quarter, halftime, second quarter, final score, you at least win your money back. I know final scores, you win $300. So you triple up. And that's playing for four games, the college football playoff semis, the national championship, and Ohio State's Rose Bowl against Utah. And I do want to remind you real quick, Spaces on Friday, go to follow Menace to Sports on Twitter, hit the bell and come hang out with us Friday at 3:00. But I did want to tell you, Chris, big shit. One, I got a parlay for you, and even better than a parlay, I think I'm going to tease it. But, with MyBookie, our partner, with promo code Menace, you get free deposit match. If you haven't signed up yet, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Go sign up, get free money. I mean, what the hell? And just play that at least and see how it goes. So the cash yesterday, Oklahoma money line, Clemson money line. If I had balls, I would have taken both spreads and they would have cashed. But I want to talk about those games in a minute. But today I got a parlay for you. And here's a fun fact before we get to it, Chris. South Carolina's playing North Carolina in the Duke Mayo Bowl. And if you haven't checked out their Twitter yet, you got to check it out because it's fucking hilarious. Like yesterday they were like, it's Wednesday. And on Wednesdays we mayo. What? Like they're just killing the game with social media. They had another post that said the Mayo Bowl is the new Rose Bowl. they realized how ridiculous it is that there's a Mayo Bowl. Mm-hmm. But what I've been told is that the coaches had to agree that the winning head coach will sit on a throne and get doused in mayonnaise after the win, which I'm going to be honest, I am out on. Mac Brown, you imagine Mac Brown's old ass, like national championship winning coach, like he's going to let them pour mayo on him? This is becoming like that Nickelodeon show. I forget what it's called.
Slimed or whatever.
They get slimed. And like, what are we talking? This is non-playoff bowl games now. It's Nickelodeon. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, he'd probably sign a lifetime deal. You just got, you know, Mayo Mac.
Right. I mean, what are we talking about? So anyways, here's the three plays I like them of the four games. I like North Carolina -12, Wisconsin -6.5, and Pitt +3. So if you want to parlay them, you want to play them individually, or what I'll probably do is I'll probably tease them all and go get it to UNC -6, Wisconsin -0.5, basically a pick 'em, and Pitt +9. I don't know how the Pitt Michigan State game is going to be interesting. And we can start by talking about that before we talk about last night's games. It's going to be interesting to see like why they think Michigan State is a favorite, right? I mean, Peyton Thorne has not been a great quarterback. He's been just average. They lost the best player Michigan State's had on offense, and I don't know, since Le'Veon Bell and Kenneth Walker III, he's not going to play. And then on the other side, Pitt has Kenny Pickett, who was one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He opted out. And so with all this uncertainty on offense, like it's not like Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia, like, or Clemson, like where they just, the next guy up is just legit, right? We're talking about Pitt and Michigan State. When you lose at Kenny Pickett, the likelihood of your next quarterback even being half as good as him is really, really low. kind of like Nick Michigan State. They haven't utilized the portal yet to find Kenneth Walker's replacement eligible in this game. So it's like, I don't know why they would lean Michigan State, because Michigan State has a horrific defense and Pitt has an outstanding defense. And so I think Pitt's going to win the game. If you want to get some balls and take the money line, I don't know why they would favor that team. I mean,
I think Vegas maybe views the quarterback situation as kind of a more meaningful, like a harder position to replicate. Like obviously, like being the core, like Kenny Pickett did everything for that team, and him being out doesn't just impact him, but it also, you know, is Jordan Addison not playing also?
I don't know. I didn't read that he was opting out. I know that much. But even if he's
in, it doesn't matter, because like you're taking away the quarterback. They would just chuck it to him blindly. And maybe Nick Patty chucks it to him blindly. I don't know. I'm trying to defend it, but I really can't, Zach. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the reality is this. Here's the way I look at it. Like, yes, a quarterback is very important if they are a difference maker, right? And you look at Peyton Thorne, not a difference maker. So whether he plays or not, kind of insignificant to me. I mean, obviously he's the best one they have, but when Kenny Pickett doesn't play, that's a pretty big drop off. I get that, but both teams are missing their cash cow, right? Like the horse that they ride to success on offense. Both teams are missing them, and so you have to rely on the best defense. And Pitt's defense is 100 times better than Michigan State's defense. So I'm riding Pitt hard on that game. I guess I wanted to start by talking about that, but. How about Bobby Stoops, the fucking GOAT? My man was chilling on Big Noon Kickoff, his baby. Oklahoma lost Lincoln Riley, and he said, oh, Christ, I got this. Let me show you how Lincoln should have been doing this shit.
Yes, sir. He
rolls in and just steamrolls Oregon. Steamrolled him. And it was both Oregon, Oklahoma and Clemson did exactly what I thought. And the Vegas knew, right? Mm-hmm. Oklahoma opened up -3.5. It got up to all the way to -8, I think, at kickoff. And similar to, if you want to get to it, the North Carolina game, I think, started at like -5, and now it's up to -12. So Vegas knows. But Oklahoma rolled. Caleb Williams looked good. Bob Stoops' son caught a touchdown pass when it was 9-3. Mm-hmm. Just a great game, really. Two great games. And both teams looked better than they've looked all year.
Yeah, you're right. And afterwards, he said he's passing the visor to Venables. It just, you know, they did it right, Zach. I love it. You know, Stoops is definitely the go for that. And they, like you said, they did look better than they looked all year, and it should be interesting. I'm interested to see what Caleb Williams does moving forward. You know, the questions about going here, going there, you know, the whole, you know, maybe out West. He put on Twitter, they asked said something. He's like, what are your plans next, Caleb? He's like, I'm going to go on a vacation, and didn't give any kind of anything for an answer.
Right. And you know what? I know I've heard a couple reports in the media, and I know this to be true because this is how it works. Like, just talking about how hard teams have been recruiting him to jump in the portal. And that's where the NCAA needs to step the fuck in.
Serious tampering.
Mm-hmm. Serious tampering. And it's not that hard to figure out how the teams go about it. And I don't know the exact way to monitor it or ensure it doesn't happen. But if I'm Oklahoma, I'm actively pursuing and exposing and turning in anyone that is contacting this kid. And it's really easy how it happens, right? You have a nonchalant off the record conversation with his high school coach or someone that's involved with him outside of Oklahoma and outside of, cause you contact the kid, you're screwed, right?
Yeah.
They find out you contacted the kid through DMs or whatever. You got his number and called him. Like that's easy to prove. So these guys will go through high school coaches because they are allowed to call high school coaches to talk about their current high school athletes, right? And so then the conversation would be like, hey, you let Caleb know, like he start day one if he was thinking, you know, I'm not saying he should leave.
If Caleb was here, man, the things we would be able to do with him.
You know, with all the uncertainty, like if he gets in the portal, make sure, you know, we want to get in on him, like stuff like that. So they know they have a home, and it can get even shadier net when you start getting into like contacting his uncle or, you know, it's hard to contact.
And now we got NIL deals that can like tampering.
Well, they can go through companies right now. Boosters and companies can contact the kid's representation and just say, hey, we just, you know, not sure what he's going to do. But if he did jump in the portal, we were thinking about looking at a 7-figure deal. If he was to love USC or whatever. Yeah,
it's
right?
Like, damn, if he was at USC, we would offer him this. Like, it's like, if you were at, you know, at a California school, maybe we'd offer you this, but right now this is all we got for you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I think that's the one thing the NCAA has to do. They have to get their hands around the tampering, because it's it is about to be worse than AAU basketball, worse than anything, because honestly, football is king in this country. When you look at ratings and everything, I mean, just the NFL blows the NBA out of the water. College football blows college basketball out of the water outside of March Madness, which is amazing. March Madness is the GOAT tournament, the GOAT postseason of all sports, probably. But they got to do something. They can't let this happen. And they probably will. They'll probably screw it up just like they screwed it up from the onset. And it's a shame because this is wild what's happening. You're going to have a kid that has a great year and maybe a position coach leaves or his offensive line was a bunch of vets and they leave. And it's just going to be like, I mean, a feeding frenzy. Sharks with blood in the water trying to get to a kid to convince him to transfer. It's going to take a lot to keep keep those kids focused and keep them loyal. I mean, loyalty is going to be a lost art soon. And Caleb Williams, I really hope that he comes back to Oklahoma because that's where you get fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. When a kid is at Oklahoma, a blue blood, right? Five-star, all everything, starting quarterback. They bring in an attractive hire, a great football coach. Why would that kid leave? I can understand Spencer Rattler leaving, right? I can understand even to an extent Quinn Ewers leaving, right?
Or a kid leaving a broken situation or a situation where they're not able to play and be developed. That is not the case at Oklahoma.
Right. And or a kid, like you said, maybe a kid that like Sam Howell, had he done it a year or two ago, right? Where he's dominating, but North Carolina is just never going to be a contender, right?
Exactly.
And so they want to contend. You see it with some of these kids, like the kid that left Georgia Tech, right? The running back or Elias Ricks at LSU. Like he said, you know what? I'm happy here, but I want to play at the highest level. And so they jump ship and they just don't think it's going well there. I guess I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I mean, that's LSU. I think that's kind of bullshit too. But in Oklahoma, who knows what they're going to be with Venables. But I just think you're the starting quarterback at Oklahoma. I mean, go be great. If you're one of the best quarterbacks in the country, Oklahoma's going to be in the playoff mix, period. Right. Point blank. The end. Like,
and I'll defend the LSU. The LSU was a broken situation. I have no problem with kids leaving broken situations because a lot of times that's out of their control based on the administration, based on, you know, whoever's running the show, like a bad coaching hire. So I don't fault him for leaving a broken situation. This Oklahoma situation, even though it's a new coach, doesn't feel like a broken situation at all. Like the fact of the matter is they won their bowl game. They have a really good coach coming in, a really good staff coming in. I mean, you're still going to get I mean, it feels like a plus, like it's still a good team. Oklahoma's still going to be a top 10 team. And you are, you know, the face of that. You are the face of a top 10 team at quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's where I'm at with that.
And kind of the other game, I would tell you the other thing that, so the first thing I noticed last night or yesterday during the games is one, Stoops just, I mean, what a great job that he did for his, you know, his place. That's his, I mean, he lived right down the street from the stadium. So they needed a guy and he was like, yeah, I'll walk over, be there in a second. but really cool that he did it. I did wonder, like, does he get Lincoln Riley's bowl bonuses now? Like whatever.
He absolutely should.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I'm him, I'm going to go, all right, I'll do it. But I want Lincoln's bowl bonuses. You ain't paying him. They're not going to pay Lincoln the bowl bonuses. So he should get the bowl bonuses. I'm like, give me that fat check.
Yeah.
And if we win, double it.
Just thinking about guys and like how they left their schools. Like he did it the absolute right way with none of the hate that Urban got. Like absolute perfect way.
A more likable person.
Just comes across as a good dude in general.
Yeah, even in media and interviews, you walk away going, yeah, I like that guy. I think I like that guy. But in other news, speaking of likable guys, probably the most opposite of a likable guy, Dabo Swinney, all gee golly shucks.
Aw shucks, go Bucks.
The Clemson Tigers had a huge program-changing win over the fourth-best team in the awful Big 12 in Iowa State. By the way, a 7-6 football team. And after the game, I thought they won it all. I really did. Did you see the post-game presser where Dabo Swinney, and there's pictures all over the internet, because they won, he got a Cheez-It from the Cheez-It guy, like the Cheez-It mascot. And I mean, they're blasting music, dancing, like, and I get it.
He got a Gatorade bath.
Yeah, I don't want to be like that negative Nancy guy. Like, they won a bowl game. It's the end of the season. They're happy. They're wherever the hell the Cheez-It bowl is. I don't even know where the Cheez-It bowl is. But it's just, I don't know. I've been a part of bowl games where you're happy you won, like, for instance, we played in a Cotton Bowl, right? Mm. Everyone was happy we won. We went in, smiled, took some pictures, and then got out of there, right? It wasn't a celebration. It was just like happiness that we ended it the right way, like sad for the seniors and the players that weren't going to be back the next year. There's a way to do it, understanding like that's not where you wanted to be, right? And it's not sour grapes. You're not like just walking off like, all right, fucking glad that's over. No, you're happy. Mm-hmm. Like you're the locker room's elated. Like you're glad that you righted the ship and finished the season the right way. But it's not like I saw with that Clemson team who was celebratory. Like it was, mm-hmm. I mean, like they won something significant.
It should have been like a thankful. So like I'm thankful for the season. I'm thankful we were able to go out on a high, but instead it's like, holy shit, we're the fucking goats. We won the whole fucking thing. Let's douse our coach and celebrate with the Cheez-It. It was just like a different, it was like, they celebrated like they were the underdog, Zach.
Yeah.
They celebrated like they weren't expected to be a top five team this year.
There's no doubt.
And it's a little bit embarrassing. I was like, damn, oh, gee golly shucks. But you know,
it's crazy. Crazy. Well, also we got a matchup today. I mean, one matchup that is pivotal for the arguments that I've made on the show all year. But if you look at it right now, the Big Ten, a convincing ass win. Maryland beating the brakes off of Virginia Tech last night, 54-10. Tua's younger brother, Tagovailoa, just was balling. Makes it exciting to see what Maryland. I mean, I think I was a year away from hyping Maryland up as a much better team, and I think next year will be the year. You know, not where they beat Ohio State or win the Big Ten or anything like that, but I think they'll be a much improved version of themselves. And if you watched last night, it looks like they're definitely on the right path. So the Big Ten, a big 2-0 right now, and a huge SEC Big Ten matchup: Tennessee versus Purdue at 3:00 today. And I'm excited to watch it because Tennessee, I like Tennessee. I like the trajectory they have. Hendon Hooker, I'm a huge fan of his. I think Josh Heupel's doing a good job. But Purdue is a team that throws the shit out of the ball. And it'll be interesting to see because you watch the Georgia game and not the Purdue's Georgia, but you watch, you know, Tennessee play. Their defense is really, really suspect. And that's Purdue's baby. I mean, they're just going to throw the ball. And I don't know. I'm just interested to watch. I don't have a pick on it. Obviously, I didn't put it in my parlay. But I'm interested to see who wins the game.
Yeah, I'm interested as well. I want to see, you know, what Purdue's going to do without David Bell, who me and you both agree is one of the better receivers in the country. And can be a game wrecker at times. But no, I mean, this is the measuring stick, obviously, for the Big Ten. I will say, I think the SEC is the best conference, but that doesn't mean that they have to be the best conference always. It doesn't mean they're permanently the best conference. And so this is the measuring stick, and at some point they're going to get caught by somebody. And this is kind of another step in that direction. And we'll see. I think bowl season is super important because, like we discussed earlier this year on the show, is that unfortunately the way humans work, results of next year are not independent. It's kind of a train of thought going into next season. So I think it's important to win bowl season, and I like Purdue a lot. So they're gonna chuck that thing all around the yard. They're gonna throw that thing 100 times. With the walk on kid. So I'm curious, I'm interested, I'm excited, and I think that that's going to be a really, really good game. I mean, it just some games in bowl season have the feel like we get like that weird classic. Like it's just going to be, it's because it's not such a big game nationally, it maybe shouldn't get the attention that it deserves. But after the game, it just feels like this could be one of those, wow, that was a really fucking good game to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. And here's my issue with it, and this has been my issue with bowl games. Never mind, I'm never here for the argument like, well, they didn't want to be there. It's like, that's such a bullshit excuse. But what I do think is relevant is when you look at these teams like Purdue, right? Whatever they finish, I don't have in front of me. Whatever they finish in the Big Ten West.
They're 8-4.
Yeah, 8-4. I meant ranking-wise, like whatever they were in the Big Ten. They're going to go play Tennessee, who's outside of Cade Mays, who's hurt, who's their best offensive lineman. Tennessee's pretty much has everyone playing, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at Purdue, and not only David Bell and George Karlaftis, or however you say his name, are they opting out? That's two first, second-round draft picks. Probably both first round draft picks that are sitting out, opting out. Then they have their second best receiver, Milton Wright, and their best corner, Dedrick Mackey, are not even in Nashville. And I don't know why. I didn't see a report why. Probably something to do with COVID or, whatever it is. And their top left, their left tackle, Greg Long, is doubtful. So if they don't have the top basically five guys on the team, it's like, damn, like it's hard to hold this game as an evaluation tool, but I'm not making excuses. If going back to the gambling part of it, I would probably take Tennessee to cover, but it's tough when with the what the age of college football has become with opt-outs, COVID, all this stuff. It's hard to really hold teams, you know, to what used to be and always has been kind of the measuring stick for success, which was bowl games. It's at the end of the year. You're the maximized version of your team. Everyone's playing other conferences. It's like, all right, let's see how good the SEC was. Let's see how good the Big Ten was. In 2021, it feels like a really hard thing to do because it's like, I don't know, that team had like Mississippi State. We're going to hold that against the SEC. They had 10 guys out with COVID. Like,
sheesh.
I mean, I don't know how you do it, but it is what it is. Hopefully it's over after this year and they adopt some NFL policies. Speaking of policies, though, everyone's up in outrage over the Alabama's one receiver. They asked him if he's been tested recently. He's like, honestly, I can't remember the last time I was tested. We don't really test guys unless they're really sick. And it just pissed Ohio State fans off so bad.
Ohio State fans are mad at the wrong people.
Oh, they definitely are mad at the wrong people. They're trying to act like Nick Saban, you know, went against all this shit and broke rules to keep kids on the field. That's not fucking true. That's not what he did. He did exactly what the SEC said to do. They said, if a kid's sick, test him. If he's not sick, don't test him. Simple as that. But I thought it was funny because the kid was talking about this season right now. I know for a fact they did the same thing last season. You know, maybe a little bit against rules, but you know, whatever, common sense. They have
rules,
common sense.
Not laws, right?
But I mean, Ohio State's doing the same thing right now. I've talked to several people over there. Only if a kid has symptoms, is sick, do they test them. Otherwise, they don't test them. Asymptomatic, doesn't matter. They'll only test a kid that's sick. And then if he's sick, they test him. He's positive. He quarantines for 5 days now, like the CDC said. Now last year, Ohio State tested daily. Right. And then late in the season, they started doing it 2 to 3 times a week. Right. Because they tried to save money because it's ridiculous. Like everyone's negative Monday and we test Tuesday, Wednesday, why not skip the Tuesday test and just test Wednesday? Like, what is one day going to do? Like if a couple kids get it, we find out the next day, we quarantine them. So that was what Ohio State did. They did it daily for a while, like late in the season, they backed off to 2 to 3 times a year or 2 to 3 times in a week. And obviously that's why they were without all those players. So, but the problem was this, they were adhering to Kevin Warren, to his rules, his guidelines, what he demanded. And Ohio State is a by the book, you know, tight asshole, Doug Archie rule follower. Like, whereas Alabama was like, all right, we'll test like once a week, whatever. Like, and then no one ever said like, you have to test your entire team every day. Like by the end of the year, they were like, yeah, you need to have tests, you know, weekly. And that was kind of the policy. And so Kevin Warren was the one that fucked the goat. That's who fucked the goat. And he looks like a goat fucker if you look at him. So I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm sorry. You want to blame someone? Blame Kevin Warner. Warren. Mm-hmm. Blame Kevin Warren. Or blame Ohio State for listening to Kevin Warren. Because ultimately, what we've learned through this mess is you don't have to listen to the fucking conference. What are they going to do? What's the Big Ten going to do? Right? Ohio State could have left the Big Ten, no problem. Just like we learned in 2021 that you don't need to schedule these games 8 years in advance. Just add games now in fucking 7 days. We brought in Rutgers to play in a bowl game in like a week. I mean, a whole bowl trip. You know the logistics of a bowl trip?
They got that done in 24 hours.
Like boom, to boom, fly boom. 110 kids and coaches and everything with hotels, meals, entertainment, everything. You know a logistical nightmare that is compared to just go play a game? Like it's all bullshit and it's all just, you know, red tape and trying to pay people salaries to go view sites and try to find games for 2048. It's just ridiculous. But if we've learned anything, we've learned that the NCAA doesn't have any jurisdiction over anyone. The conferences are a joke. You can really go against them and do whatever the fuck you want to do, a la Nick Saban last year. And I think it's time for Ohio State to really start swinging their stick, right? They're big dick in the league. Flop that thing out on the desk and let them know.
Set your nuts on the table. I have a conspiracy theory, Zach. I don't think Justin Fields was really getting tested last year. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like, you know, because we knew Ryan got caught it. He tested positive. We know Corey tested positive. We know the whole offensive line tested positive. And Justin Fields, there was never any doubt, never any rumor, never anything.
The five guys he's right next to you know, all practice, all, you know, that half the time they meet together, they're in the locker room together. His position coach and the head coach, who was kind of his position coach, all got COVID and Fields
and
over there
two
like,
of the running backs, and he never got it.
No, you're not sticking that shit up my nose.
Yeah, they were forging the test or something, because there's no, like, he absolutely should have got it, but I think that's maybe the one thing Ohio State did. We're not going to test Justin. And remember, yeah, Chris Olave had it too. Yeah. Like, everybody got it, you know, every star player except for the homie. I'm convinced that they just weren't testing him. You know, little SEC page out of the book. If there's no symptoms, don't test him. Especially because remember there was that Justin Hilliard halfway through the season had the false positive and had to sit out a game.
Yeah, which is whatever. I could go down this path forever. Yeah. It's just it was so poorly handled from the top down, right? From the president of the United States and Donald Trump, and then Joe Biden, to the government at the state level, to DeWine, to all the way. So in the politic world, and then you go to the sports world, and it was so poorly handled by the conferences. Kevin Warren was the absolute worst of the worst. Just a joke of a leader. Couldn't even call him a leader. Joke of a human. And it just a shame, but it is what it is. Moving forward, I think everyone's on the same page. Like, and eventually, once people realize that for whatever reason you believe, was it vaccines? Is it the variants are a lesser version or whatever it is? For whatever reason you believe, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, doctor, medical professional, but this virus is no longer a serious threat. So it is time to treat it as a cold or flu, because that's what it is. That's what everything is showing us. And so I don't even agree with the quarantine anymore, but whatever. Everyone needs to jump on board with the NFL and what Alabama's doing and what Ohio State's doing, which is if a kid's sick, test him. If he's positive, quarantine him. That's fine. But if a kid's not sick, don't fucking worry about it. The kid's not sick.
Yeah, there's just so much like sideways optical stuff. Like, you know how the NFL does like the spaced out interviews after games? Like the social distancing? Did you see the picture of Aaron Rodgers? I think he was hugging Aaron Andrews.
Yeah,
they did
a whole interview,
and 6 feet apart
interview. Yeah, and then after the interview, they hugged.
Yeah,
so you mean to tell me we couldn't skip the hug and just do a normal interview like that? Which one gives COVID more?
Yeah, there's just so much like optical, just like straight
it's
up
virtue signaling is what it is, and it makes me fucking disgusting. It's disgusting. Because ESPN doesn't want people to, like, be outraged that they aren't taking the virus seriously, but they obviously aren't. They're not wearing masks anymore. They're hugging after interviews. Like, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, just be authentic. Like, that's not authentic. And even Dave Portnoy, who talks a big game, that he's got his mask on, taking a half court shot with no one around. Like, I could go on forever. It's just so ridiculous.
It was funny. His mask fell on the ground. He met a floor that's got to be filthy. Picks it back up, puts it right back on
his mouth. Like, Jesus, never would I do that. Oh, nuts.
It's like the dad dropped the gum on the ground and picked it up and put it back.
Right. Just like, we're really concerned about public health. I did see a thing that they said, how poetic would it be if you have to have a vaccine or a health card to eat at McDonald's? Because like they're talking about it. McDonald's is talking about doing a vaccination card mandate. It's like, what? Like, bro, it's McDonald's, like, no, you kill more people alone than COVID has ever, like, in a year. McDonald's kills more people than COVID has. It's just insane. I think that but I will say, just, we can get off COVID. I'm kind of going on a tangent, but Wisconsin plays Arizona State tonight, so we got we got three Big Ten games: Purdue, Tennessee, Michigan State, Pitt, and Wisconsin, Arizona State. Should be interesting to see. Wisconsin's offense is terrible, but their defense is legit. I think they can handle Arizona State, but we got some Big Ten football today, and I'm excited about it, all leading up to tomorrow, where in the morning show we'll talk about it, on the Twitter spaces we'll talk about it, and on my main show this later this afternoon, I will talk about the college football playoff semifinals, man. 3:30 Cincinnati, Alabama, 7:30 Georgia, Michigan. It is time to kick this shit off.
It is time. That's all I got for today, Zach.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate it, Chris. Everybody, we will catch you later today on my main show, Friday morning on the morning show, and then obviously Twitter Spaces, 3 o'clock on Friday, right before kickoff. So come hang out with us. We appreciate y'all. Menace out.